This is the time in our service where we participate in the Lord's table. And if you have your Bible available, please turn to the book of 2 John, the second letter of John. We live in an interesting time in regards to how people view truth. To submit something as being an absolute truth by many is viewed as just simply narrow-minded, as prideful, as arrogant, as ignorant. And that is, unless you are submitting the absolute truth that there is no absolute truth, then you're the opposite of all of those things. And the battle for truth oftentimes feels like a new battle, but it's really not. Since the fall of mankind, man in his fallen state has been at enmity with God. Man, since his fallen state, has sought to suppress the truth about God in his unrighteousness. Jesus knew the challenge that believers would face in thinking rightly about the truth. Jesus knew of the constant barrage of false thinking that believers would face. He also knew that, just like we sang, we are prone to wander. We are prone to leave the God that we love. And so God, Jesus, in fact, in his kindness and grace to us, he gave us the ordinance of the Lord's table. And this is where we intentionally renew our minds with the truth about God. We intentionally renew our minds with the truth about what Jesus has done on the cross. And so as we do that this morning, I'd like you to consider with me the book of 2 John, starting in the first verse. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. Five times in the first four verses, truth is mentioned. And it's clear that John's desire for this woman and her children and for all who read this book to walk and live in the truth, to know the truth and to walk in the truth and to live in that truth. In verse 2, the truth abides in us. And in verse 4, John is glad that some of the lady's children are walking in the truth. And there is a knowledge of the truth that produces an obedience to the truth. This should be the case for every believer. This should be the case for every believer. A true knowledge of the truth and an obedience to that truth. One of the main ways that truth is expressed in the believer's life is through love for one another. And John is saying nothing new here. In fact, in verse 5, he's warning against a new commandment. He's saying, adhere to what you heard from the beginning. You see, there must be belief in the truth and obedience to the truth. There must be both. But it originates with the knowledge of the truth. Truth is where it must start. You must know the truth in order to be obedient to the truth. And thus we see that truth matters. I've never heard of one jumping out of an airplane saying, I'll believe the chute will open when I see it. They believe first. They believe first that the chute will open and then they jump. And in verse 7, we see a startling statement, and that's the fact that deceivers have gone out into the world. And what do they look like? Well, they want to fit in with believers. But they do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. They do not acknowledge Jesus, Messiah, coming in the flesh. They do not acknowledge Jesus, the anointed one of God, coming in the flesh. They get wrong the fact that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, or they miss his coming in the flesh. They either get his divinity wrong, or they get his humanity wrong. And in order to have forgiveness of sins, in order for forgiveness of sins to have taken place, Jesus had to be both. He had to be divine and he had to be human. And he was. Verse 8, we see the importance of truth in the believer's life. Deceivers have gone out, and the call is for the believer to watch themselves. He says, watch yourselves. Deceivers have gone out. Watch yourselves. There's a call to not lose what has been accomplished, and that's in adhering to the true gospel, what was originally taught regarding the truth of Christ. Believer, deceivers are out there, and our call is to watch ourselves. Are you thinking rightly about Jesus? Are you thinking rightly about Jesus as the Son of God? He is the image of the invisible God. He is God in the flesh. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have been reconciled to God. We who were once far off have been brought near. Jesus took on himself the wrath of God that we deserve because of our sin and our rebellion against God, and God reconciled us to himself, and he brought us together in the body of Christ. And through the blood of Christ, we have gained a love for God, and we have gained a love for one another. Are you walking in your love for God? Are you walking in your love for one another? This is the perfect time to examine your life. To examine your life and your heart. And if there is sin in your life, believer, that you have not repented of, now. Now is the time to repent of that sin and to take the bread and the cup and to remember what Jesus has accomplished. Participate in the Lord's table. Truth is important. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you do not have truth, you do not have Jesus. Jesus is the truth. The men are going to come in a moment and they're going to pass out the bread and the juice, and we know there's not a special spiritual significance to these things, but they're reminders of our Savior. They're reminders of what Christ has done. The bread represents the body of Jesus that was broken, and the cup represents his blood that was shed. And in taking the bread and the cup, we get to proclaim Christ's death. We get to remember what Christ accomplished, and we get to proclaim his death until he comes again. Christ is coming again. And this is good news for the believer. And for his coming, we wait. We wait with great anticipation. If you're not a believer in Christ, if you have not turned from your sins and submitted your life to Jesus, if the truth is not in you, if you suppress the truth, you reject the truth, come to Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus says that there are two gates. There is the wide gate, which is broad and leads to destruction, and there is the small gate, which is narrow and it leads to life. Enter the narrow gate. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sins and find that he is a good master. He is a sweet Savior. And if you do that today, if you will repent of your sins and turn to Jesus, take the bread, take the cup, and remember what Jesus has accomplished. If you will not repent, I plead with you again to do so. Repent. But if still you will not, then we ask that you let the bread and the cup pass by. They have no significance for you. Is there a time for believers? This is a time for believers to remember what Christ has done. So we would just ask you to let those pass by. Don't leave without talking to somebody more about the gospel. This is good news, the gospel, the good news. You must hear more of this good news if you will not repent. Men, come forward and serve us. As your heart is prepared, take the bread and the cup on your own.